This year's a little disjointed, but we'll put it together. So this year, the way it came about, I can even give you the whole story how it came about, is really like another raya, like a hashgacha practice. So I was sitting down last Motzei Shabbos, trying to figure out what would be a good topic, parshas Vayera, halacha, machshava, trying to tie it together. A lot of different things, and then I realized, you know, in the beginning of the parsha, you have these malachim that come visit Abram. Three malachim went to tell him about Yitzchak, to destroy stone, to heal him from the Mila. And I thought to myself, I don't know anything about these angels. I don't know anything. Like, it's interesting, you know, there's like, you hear a lot of stories. I don't know anything about it. So let me try to look into it. And then as I started looking into it, all these things from the Parsha, as you'll see, just came about. So we're going to talk about malachim, angels, and specifically how it relates through Parsha's Va'ira. Parsha's Va'ira, and then... So it's come out with some interesting things. Hopefully, some of them relate. So we'll start with the first two psukim. Avram, Hashem is appearing to Avram, and then he sees these three malachim, and he goes and he greets them. This is where the Gemara in Shabbos learns Gedol Hachnasas Orchim Mekabal Spanei Shechina, that Avram leaves the Hashem, this conversation with Hashem, to find the Shechina. So the first thing that we're going to investigate in terms of the story is actually an embarrassing story for me, how it came about this. A few years ago, I started giving a shiur on Ramban on the Torah. It was a great thing for me. Highly recommend it if you could start going through Rambans. There's a list of like the most important Hashkafic Rambans, but that's not all the Ramban there is. There's a lot of other important Halacha and Truth of Shal Mikra. Rambans, everything. But until then, you know, I scattered Rambans here and there. And I had a guest over at my house. This was a while back. My apartment in the Heights had guests over, a couple, newly married couple. And I said, I was looking around the safer, and I saw a really interesting thing. I quoted like some obscure Mefarish in the Torah who says that the whole story with Avram and the Malachim didn't really happen. There weren't really angels there, and it was a dream. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I started talking on the table, and the wife of this couple says to me, oh, it's Ramban. I was like, okay, like some lady, you know, some calls me on a Ramban. And like, I saw it in a sefer. They quoted, I think, the Ralbag. But she's like, it's Ramban. Oh, sorry, it's not a Ramban, it's a Rambam. The Ramban quotes the Rambam. So the first thing we're going to talk about is Vayir Olav Hashem. And then these malachim appear, he sees them. So there's a big machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, how to understand this parsha. So you don't have the whole, it's a very long, here's the Ramban, from here, and this is two columns, I gave you pieces, but he starts with the Mor Nevuchim. He quotes the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Beis, sorry, Chelek Beis, Perek Mem Beis, is not on the sheet, and the Rambam Nevuchim says, Ki a parsha klalu prat, every detail of this parsha, is just a dream. It's a mar nevua. Because a person cannot actually see a malach. It's not possible. The malach can't be seen by human eye. And the Rambam says every encounter that we have in Chumash between a malach and a person is a mar of nevua. He says, Raka kol mar nevua. It's a chalom. Avram was dreaming. He saw a vision. And so the Ramban gets into it because most Nevi'im, post to Moshe Rabbeinu, they saw their nevuos only through a vision, through a dream. Moshe Rabbeinu saw fully awake. So Abram had to be somewhat not in a full conscious state, and he saw this vision. And then he says, V'chein amar b'inyan v'yavek ishimo. But we'll see, by Yaakov fighting with the malach. Can't fight with the malach. It's a mar nevuah. And he gives another example. Also brings that whole back and forth. Kulu parsha ma'are. That's the Rambam's opinion. Rambam says everything. No, you know, don't disappoint your kids, elementary school age kids at the Shabbos table. Keep this a secret from them as long as you can. This Rambam won't go over so well in elementary school that you appear the way you taught it. These Avram saw people, and the people were Malachim, says the Ramban. This is what you have here on the sheet. B'emes, the summary of the Rambam. Sorry, the first source you have on the sheet is the summary of the Rambam. B'emes, ki kol makom shuzkur v'ksav, riyas malach, ol dibra malach, hu b'maro b'chalom ki haragashim. our senses, human senses, lo yasigu mahamalachim. Malachim are so ba'at beyond human beings. Our senses don't have the capability of grasping them. Avlo maras nevuah. Ki masigur as malach dibra inu nevi.
Which is strange for the Joseph, because then, I mean, that could be a thought process, but there's so much of the Torah, so much of these psukim that talk about feeding them and
right, washing
them.
So that's all going to be, all the questions you're asking, all that's going to be a dream. And the Ramban takes the Rambam to task, and he argues on him, and brings many, many rayos from the Nevi'im. So let me just find the best line for that. So if you look at the dot, hinei b'chol makom yis'oru hachachamim lahodiyenu ki riyas ha'malach einen nevuah ve'ein ha'ro ha'malachim medabim mikal nevi'im kasher eskarti ben amiyo. I could show you many places where the people who see malachim, they're not nevi'im. So if they never got to the madrig of being able to receive a nevuah, then, and they saw angels, so it can't be more, it has to be more than a nevuah. So what does the Ramban do? Because the Rambam has some proofs. So if you look at the next paragraph where the colon is, Av abamakum asher yaskir hamalachim b'shem en Hashem kinyan parshas zos uparshas lot v'chein v'yavik ishimo v'chein v'yimseyu ish by Yosef aldas rabosenu hu kvo nivra b'malachim yikreit al hiodim malbush yusag le'ine basar b'zachi hanefashas k'chasidim u'b'nei hanavim. There are two, let's say a brisker chilek, there are two dinim in angels. Sometimes an angel is a being that's beyond this world and that we can't understand, we can't grasp, and our human senses can't see. But Hashem can orchestrate that He gives a malbush, right? He gives a covering, He gives clothing, not literally, figuratively clothing, that the malach can appear in front of a person. And that's why every time a person interacts with a malach, he doesn't see them as a malach, he sees them as anashim, because they are wearing this malbush. What exactly is this malbush? What's the Ramban referring to? So if you look at his language, Yikre etzel hayodim malbush. Those who know. So I will not be as haughty as to say that I'm ones who know. What the Ramban is referring to is those who know Kabbalah. He's saying this is a secret of Kabbalah, how a malach could appear to a person in a malbush. But his student, Rabbeinu Bechaya, who explains some of the more esoteric things in the Ramban a little more in full, gives us a little bit of a glimpse of what it means. If you look in the next source, Kfar yadati ki hanefesh hi nikra adam v'lo haguf. This is something important to remember every day of our lives, that the nefesh, our souls, are what we're called. That's who we are. Our essence is our souls. Then Hashem put a covering over our souls so that we can live in this world. Not the guf. Kiguf ein ol malbush a nefesh v'chein akasev meyed iuv or baser tel b'sheni. Iuv says that you, Hashem, you dressed me in skin and in flesh and in baser. That is what flesh and skin. That's my malbush. Ki agufu malbush v'nefesh y'adam mislabesh esbo. Mash and nikra anashim parsha zos. Hu adin b'shar mekomo shebechol haksuvim shem malachim u'mehem shaksuvim yikonis b'shem anashim imdeshu musag l'ene aguf. If our physical eyes see them, they also have this malbush. Shem zachi nefesh v'zeu inyan parsha shikum pam anashim u'pam malachim. Malachim l'fishayu malachim amish. Sometimes the Torah calls them malachim because that's what they were. And anashim because our malbush, just like our neshama has a guf, so too something spiritual that's even higher than our neshamos or different than our neshamos can be covered with a malbush. Good. So that's the machlokas. What is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban? What are they arguing about? Why does the Rambam think that angels can be seen, cannot be seen, and cannot be interacted with at all through a physical form in our senses? And the Ramban says he can as long as he comes in his malbush. And we'll get back to that malbush point later. So what it has to do with, the Rambam makes that clear, what it has to do with. The Rambam says that what a malach is not what we think, we picture. You know, the Gemara even has something like this, right? The Gemara describes, famous Gemara that a lot of people are aware of, Gemara beginning of Megillah from Sefer Yoshua, describes a malach appearing to Yoshua with a sword. He's dressed as the Tsar Tzava, the general of the army, and he says to Yoshua, "You're in big trouble." He puts a sword to him and he says, "You're in big trouble because during the fight, the battle to conquer Yisrael, in the beginning of Yoshua, you did not bring the Talmud Shel Shachar yesterday and today." He says, "You're mevatel Torah." And hold back and forth between Yoshua and the Malach. So that's what we picture a Malach, sometimes scary, sometimes gentle. Different Malachim have different tasks. The Rambam says what a Malach means is a Koach. a force in the world. That's all a malach means. Hashem set up the world that he has shluchim, he has messengers that do what needs to be done in the world. And I don't know how far he would go. It could be, he would say, even gravity, physical force, is like a malach in a certain sense, because it's the constant force that Hashem is setting in motion to do accomplish a certain goal. So that's why malachim are called shluchei Hashem. They're his messengers. They're not physical beings at all. We can't even put our, you know, you can't, just like you can't see metaphysical forces that are going on around the world. So even when a malach is sent to do a mission, somehow it's a force that Hashem puts in motion to do that mission, and that's why it cannot be seen. And the Ramban says that no, it's a kavod nivra. A malach could be a kavod nivra. What does it mean, a kavod nivra? It's something spiritual, a kavod. It's something spiritual that's from a higher realm. But it's nivra. It's something that's created and can have a specific function, and Hashem could give it this malbush, this specific form, because he thinks, you know, a malach is not just this force that's set in motion naturally in the world, but could be something more than that. And what's behind that machlokus, we'll see, could be how we view somewhat human traits, quote unquote, somewhat things that we're accustomed for ourselves. Can you apply that to a malach as well? So what gets, this is where I told you this shir's Hashkacha Pratis 101. What got me started? So I said, okay, you know what? So somewhat of a halachic shir. Let me think about, you know, what halachic sigyas relate most appropriate for a malachim. And I thought of this gemara, and came to me as the gemara in a few things. We could have talked about the gemara in Shabbos. The gemara in Shabbos, the next source on the sheet. The gemara in Shabbos in Yibbezim and Beis. Maran Shabbos in Beis Amid Beis is talking about where we had Hachnas to Orchim in the beginning of our Parsha. Hachnas to Orchim, what else were these Malachim doing? They were doing Bikur Cholim. So the Maran Shabbos is about Bikur Cholim. When you do Bikur Cholim on Shabbos, what you're supposed to say, you're at Shabbos Yimei Lizok, you're not supposed to daven specifically. And the Gemara in Beis Amid Beis quotes all these different lines, these different tefillos, whole separate topic, that part of the main aspect of Bikur Cholim is to daven for the Chola while you're there and take care of the Chola's needs. So the Gemara quotes different comments that the Amoraim would make when they would visit a Chola. So in the middle of that Gemara, the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Bchana, ki havi azlin basri de Rav Elazar, l'shugui bepitche l'zimnin amar. Sometimes when he would go visit a Chola, he would say, Hamakum yifkadecha l'shalom. Hashem should redeem you for peace. V'zimnin amar rachmana yidkarecha l'shalom. Rachmana, an Aramaic word for Hashem, should remember you for peace. He should give you a full shalom, l'shalom, full shalom. Hechi avid hachi, the Gemara says, how could he say rachmana? How could he say this tefillah in this language? V'hamar Rabbi Yehuda, li'olam al yisha adam tzorachav b'lashon arami. A person should never ask, should never daven his needs in Aramaic. Why? Ein malachi asharis nizkakin lo. Because the malachi asharis can't help him when it comes to Aramaic. Ein malachi asharis makirin b'lashon arami. Malachi asharis don't recognize lashon arami. So how can he daven in Aramaic, rachmana, while he's visiting the chola? Says the Gemara, shani chol de shechina imo. Chol is different because the shechina is resting. The Gemara says, right, the next line, the Gemara says, Mirosh HaShachol, the Shechina is resting on top of the head of the Chola. Another story, another personal story with this Gemara. I was, my daughter, she was, my daughter was born Chaf El. So when she was 20 days old, Erev Yom Kippur, she had to go to the hospital. She had RSV, respiratory, what is it? Syncytial virus. Baruch Hashem was fine. So we were in the hospital for Yom Kippur. So I remember right before Yom Kippur, like, we didn't realize we were going in until a few, you know, hours before Yom Kippur. We had to quickly get Suda in the hospital. And there was a chance they were going to let us go. So I called Ryan Neuberger. I asked him, like, in terms of if they let us go. They didn't know that for sure she had RSV. First, they thought maybe it was just something less severe. So if they let us go and it's ready Yom Kippur, how do we get home? Okay, fine. So then after Yom Kippur, Ryan Neuberger texted us. And, you know, he wanted to see how she was doing. He was very concerned. And we had a whole back and forth. And I said, you know, it wasn't so easy to have Yom Kippur just in a hospital room. I mean, we're used to Yom Kippur and shul, the singing and inspiration. So he texted me back. Well, in text me this Gemara and Shabbos, the Shechina, Rosh HaShacholah. So I didn't think of it over yet. If I would have thought of it over Yom Kippur, it would have been all the more meaningful. But it was very good on his part. So that's why we could daven when it comes to the Chola. Doesn't matter what language we're speaking, we don't need the Malachim. And it's very interesting. Rashi says, why do we care what the Malachim understand? So Rashi says, what does Rashi say? The Shechina Yimo, when the chola, the shechita is right with the chola, the ein amis, you know, Rashi ein amis pala tzarech she's kugelol malchay sharis lahachnis tefilas lefnim in a paragud. That what the role of the malachim do, can't fully understand. It says they bring our tefilos over the curtain, through the curtain directly to Hashem, but when the chola is there, we don't need it. Okay, so I was going to look into the sugya, which we will, and some things to discuss, but right away I looked at Tosos. Tosos says something very interesting. I put it on the sheet, right? Okay, at the end, at the beginning of Tosos, something else, but the last line of Tosos says, V'teima, afilo machshava shebelev kol adam yodin, v'loshin arami ein yodin. The malachim, these angels can know what's in our minds, they can read our minds, they know what's in our hearts. What's his language? Believe, call them. Remember that language, very important. But and they don't understand Aramaic. Okay, we struggle over Aramaic. We try to learn it. We learn Gemara. It's hard. But if they can know, read our minds, they can't learn Aramaic. Okay, fine, good. So far, nothing so exciting, at least for our Parsveira. Then I saw, you don't have this, the Barilan, not up to this yet, right? Everyone knows this little note on Tosos is Rabbi Kivager. Kivager and Gizgilian Oshas on that question of they know what's in our hearts, but they don't know what's in our Lashon Arami. Says Rabbi Kivager, I'm the Sefer Maskula David. Look in the Sefer Maskula David, or of David Padua. Not sure that is. I'll perish Rashi, but Torah Parshas Vayera. Look at this commentary of Rashi. Commentary on Rashi, Parshas Vayera, who quotes from the Shem Mishnas Chachamim. He doesn't tell you what it is. Look there. So I don't have these from, and look it up, but thankfully, recent years they came out with a Sefer Torah Rabbi Kivager. Besides his Chidushim and Shas, they flesh out his Giloni Hashas. Like, since I don't have any of these for him, they quote in full what they say. And I say, okay, this is too good to be true. Parshas Vayera, this Tosos, Rabbi Kivager is quoting you a Rashi in Parshas Vayera. So what does he want? What's he trying to ask from there? Tosos says the Malachim don't understand they understand what's in our hearts, they can't understand our Rami. So he's working off of Rashi in the Parsha right in the beginning. When it says that there's shlosha malachim nitzavim alav, right? They were standing above Avram, and then he saw them, and he v'yartz l'kroso, and they were standing there. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says there was this little game between Avram and the malachim. What does it say? V'yarav v'shtei pa'amim. They saw and they saw. Harishon k'mashmo. First they saw, v'asheri l'shen havana. Nistakel shahayu nitzavim makom echad v'heven shalohay rotzim latricho. Avram saw that they were all standing in one place, and then he saw again. First he saw them, he said, "Oh look, there's these three people." Then he saw them standing. They weren't sure, should we go over to this person? Avram alf bishi yodim hayashiyatz lekramdu amnim mekamo lechvodo haros shlo rotzim latricho v'kolim haratz lekrosam. So they weren't sure. They didn't know. They didn't. Did they want to bother him? Did they not want to bother him? So they stood there until Avram came out and he ran and he to greet them, and then they came into him. That's Rashi's comment. So the quote here is, what does the masculine David say? Masculine to Rashi, Abbi Sheyodeim Hayu Sheyatzel Lekrosam. Even though Malachim knew that they came out to greet him. Amdim Komam Kolomer, the Mistam Hayu Omrim Da'ato, the Vada Yatzel Lekrosam. Dim Lokim Menal Yadei. Hayim HaMalachim In Yodim Ashu Belev Shaladim. The Malachim don't know what's in the hearts of people. Dichsiv, Bochin Libos Hashem, the Einon Milvado. Pasuk says that Hashem tests hearts. Hashem knows what's in our hearts. But no one else. Shuvra Yisrael, Rabbeinu Seinu, Balei HaTosos. Then the masculine Davis says, I saw this Tosos in Shabbos. It says the Malachim do know what's in our hearts. Right? Because he was saying that what Rashi was saying, that they knew, they didn't know because they read his mind. They saw that he came out to them. So how could it be? If ever the Kasha cried, the Much Dolav Hachi Kadamran. But this Tosos against Pesukim in Navi that says that only Hashem reads hearts. Miu mida amar b'sefer Mishnas Chachamim. So then this Rav David Padva quotes Maram Chagiz, the Mishnas Chachamim, Shechilek Sham. Sheba'od, a very fascinating, I'm not really sure what to do with this, a very fascinating distinction to get out of these two sources. That Hashem reads hearts, but Tosos says they know what's in hearts. Sheba'od Sham Machshava B'Klios. When the Machshava is still in us, we haven't really formulated what the Machshava is going to be. Ein yodei ba elakosh baruch hu avakashu nesuna believe harakilu yatzu the chutz v'yodim osam malachei sharis. What I think he's trying to get at, this concept's discussed in svarim, different svarim. I think he's trying to get at is that in terms of our machshavas, when we plan on doing something, we have this idea. There's stages. It's parallel to the stages that the way Hashem involves Himself in our world, little sugya in the deeper parts of Torah. That there are stages to our machshavos. First, a person, before you even consciously make a decision that you want to do something, you have like a spark of an idea. You're not always conscious of how this happens. You can't even formulate what that is. And then it turns into something tangible. I have a plan. I want to do something. I want to accomplish something new. And then the machshava is firmly rooted in your heart. You know what you want, and then you just have to say it or do an action to get it out as a real action before. Well, but there's something before that. There's an earlier part to our machshava. So says the Maram Chagiz, what Tosus means is they can read our... It's very meduyak in Tosus. Tosus language is... They know the machshavas in our hearts, but they don't know the machshavas. Only Hashem knows the wheels that turn before the machshava gets concretized into our hearts. So that's what he wants to say from that Rashi, from that pasuk. And here on the bottom, he quotes other marmakomos to deal with this. There's a Sfas Emes and Sota and Maral and Gurarie that discuss this Tosos. And I noticed also the Vilna Gaon and Shulchan Aruch. I think in the Siman on not davening in Shara Lashonos, which we'll get to, he discusses this as well. So this, I don't know if it's...
Is this specifically Lashon Arami
then? Oh, okay, so hold off on that. So Tosos is saying specifically Lashon Arami, I think. I think that's the way they understand. Tosos, why do you think it would be anything?
It seems like it's not, like, the idea is not that it's specifically, like, Lashon Arami is just, machshavos as opposed to
speech. Right, machshavos as opposed to speech. So Tosos is saying that they can't understand our speech in other languages, but they can read our hearts. So maybe you're saying maybe they can't understand words, but they can understand. You don't think. How do you think? What's a machshavos aleiv? That's actually an interesting approach I didn't think about. So we'll get back to that point. It's an excellent question. I don't think this discussion has to be dependent on the Rambam and the Ramban. But I think, if you're more Ramban-esque, then these things make sense. For the Rambam, I don't think it's Shaykh talking about Malachim understanding. They're not beings that have they have understanding that they relate to. They have understanding of that they should do what Hashem put them in motion to do. But if they're just these kochos, as the Rambam describes, the kochos that fulfill Hashem's mission, it's hard to picture them.
It doesn't matter if they... It's not part of their job.
And it's not part of their essence, who they are. So maybe that would be dependent on our Rambam Ramban. So now we'll leave the angels specifically for a second, and we'll try to understand this sugi a little bit, and we'll deal with Avrami's question. What exactly is this concept? So there's Machlokas Rishonim. I think the Vilna Gaon and other are medayik from Tosos that it's specifically Lashon Arami. I think he says specifically Lashon Arami, and he says it doesn't make any sense that they would understand our hearts and they won't understand Lashon Arami. I think if it would be all languages, then maybe you could give your answer. But Tosos is saying there is no answer. He says Tema. So it sounds like it's something about Lashon Arami they don't understand, but they could read my heart. That doesn't make any sense, says Tosos. What would be the answer of Tosos? The Maral has a whole explanation what makes Lashon Arami different. I think the way I remember it, I heard it said over, is the Maral, that Arami is not in the language inherently into itself, right? Just like there's, maybe they don't understand Yiddish either, who knows? But Arami is something that was taken, it was based on Lashon HaKodesh, it was that we established, we established it through the Golos, maybe that's part of why they don't understand it. So it's not a language, inherent language. They don't properly understand that. I think that's the Maral's explanation here in the Chidushi Agados, and I think in some of his other Svarim. But there are some Rishonim who learned, like Avrami, that it's not just Lashon Arami. It just means that Malachim can't understand our speech. What do they understand? Lashon HaKodesh. That's the way many Rishonim understand this Gemara. And the Russian Bracha says, quotes a riff, that when do we say that Tefillah is B'chol Lashon? The Gemara in Brachos is talking about Kriya Shema B'chalasha, and the Gemara in Sota, Tefillah B'chalasha. You could daven in any language. This is something that we know, we're accustomed to. You could daven in any language. Says the Rif, when can you daven in any language? It's Tzibur. You're davening in a minyan. Allah B'yachid. So a person's in a situation where you have to daven B'yachidus, make sure you daven in Hebrew. Why? Rav Yehuda Merav. The Olam Al Yishal Adam Tzvech B'lashon Arami. It doesn't just say Lashon, it's not just Lashon Arami, says the Rif. Why the Gemara picks that example? Probably the language that they spoke. But don't shal srachav in French, in Spanish, in Yiddish, in English. Only in Hebrew, when you're davening b'chidus. Amar b'yochan kol shal srachav b'lashon arami, ein malach yisharas nizkakim lo, sh'ein malach yisharas nizkim makim b'lashon arami. That's the rush. Says Rabbeinu Yonah. The rush brings Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, I have a powerful question in this Gemara. Shayat t'miyah, kemen je tefila b'yachid, inu nemerz al yashon ha-kodesh? Tefila can only be said when we daven b'chidus in Hebrew? Eich nagu kol olam. That's not our minug. Our minug's not that way. Why? Shanashim is palos b'shar l'shonos. Women who are obligated to daven, kim shchayavus l'pitvila, l'hayim l'spala b'lashon ha-kodesh. Right, in the times of Rabbeinu Yonah, the women were not accustomed to Hebrew. We know to recent history, till the women's education movement. Some women didn't even know how to read Hebrew. They read Yiddish. They were very uneducated. They were very very dedicated and very religious people, but they were not educated. In the time of Rabbeinu Yonah, assuming also the women, they used to daven in Rabbeinu Yonah. Lived in Spain, so I guess they daven in Spain or whatever language that whatever they spoke. What? So women are chayav in tefillah. What did you say? So that's the Gemara discussing. The Mishnah says grandma, but the Gemara says tefillah is rachman. They still have to daven in something. So that's a whole big discussion. Exactly what they're chayav. The Magen Avraham says they're just chayav to request something, and Magen Avraham says the woman in his time. In 1600 Europe, we're not davening every day, you know, at least a set tefillah. So the Magen Avraham says in Shulchan Aruch famously that they just have to make some request, say something to Hashem. So in the morning they say Modani, you know, Hashem can have a good day. Maybe they say a tefillah, pack their kids lunch, you know, my kid should have a good day in school today. So then they're yotze. Okay, so then women, you know, some women, different minhagim, different shitas of how formally they should daven. But what they daven, Rabbeinu Yonah says they speak even in Shar Lashonos. How could that be? Because they're davening bichitas. They're obviously not going to minyan. So what is it? What's his answer? So Rabbeinu Tzarfazal, he quotes the Bali Tosos, Hayinos and Tamla Minog. This is classic Tosos that Tosos is working from the bottom up. That Tosos is not going to just say, oh, it's all wrong. Tosos says if there's a minhag that's going on, we have to try our best to explain that minhag based on the halachic sources. And what does he say? Big chiddush. Even though they're davening b'yichidus, there's no minyan, they're not going to shul, but the words that they're saying in English, in Spanish, in French, is the words that the tzibur says, right? They're not just saying a tefillah, you know, Hashem, please help me have a good day, help my children, help my family. They're davening Shemoneh Esrei. They're just davening the translation of Shemoneh Esrei in their languages. That's like tefillas hatzibur. That's what the Bali Tosa says. And I thought I had trouble understanding this. I understand why when you daven b'tzibur, you could daven in any language that you want. Why? Similar to the chola. We don't need the malachi asharis. We're in shul. The Gemara and Brachos talks about many, many sources of the strength of the tefillas harabim, the tefillas hatzibur. It's a different strength. So those tefillas can break down the barriers and go straight into Kadosh Baruch Hu without any help from the malachim. But we daven in our house, so we're just alone, just us. We may be good people, maybe tzaddikim, but we need the help of the malachim to get our tefillas going. Fine, but then just because we say the words that everyone else is saying, then that itself is strong language, right? But it's not like the tefillah tzibur at all, because they need help. They don't have the malachim, they don't have the tzibur with them. They need the malachim to take the tefillah up. So how can they daven in their languages? So for Tosos, it wouldn't be a question, because he thinks that it's only a problem for Rami. So as long as that's what the Vilna Gaon explains. So as long as they dive in every other language, they're good to go. But for this Rabbeinu Yonah and the opinions he's quoting here, it's a serious question. So I thought of a few suggestions how to explain this. One being that the Nefesh HaChaim says that the tefillah, this is the very important answer to the question that we often grapple with in children. Your kids, I'm sure, have asked you this question. Right? Wouldn't it be better to daven in the nusach than I feel? Right? High school kids struggle with this a lot. Should be able to daven. I should be able to speak to Hashem. I tell him what's on my mind. There's a place for that in tefillah, but what's with the set tefillah every day? And Nefesh HaChaim says that when the tefillah was nitkana through the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the people who established those tefillah were Kadshei Elyon, he says. They were holy Tanaim Amurayim. And some of them, he says, were Nevi'im and had Ruach, close to Nevi'im had Ruach HaKodesh. And they were metaking the Nusach of tefillah per Ruach HaKodesh. And that all these kavanos, you know, you hear about, like, you know, the kavanos HaRizal and all the kavanos that people have in tefillah, that their tefillahs actually could affect in a very serious way the Olam HaSalyonim. He says, even if you don't have those kavanos, the words themselves have that power built into them. And even if you're not aware of the power of those words, there's something beyond just simple words that nusach of tefillah has. And all you have to do in order to make those words effective is just focus on them. The Nefesh HaChaim has an eitzah, he says, I have a tested advice for a person to have more kavanah and tefillah. Just focus on the words. He says, picture the word in front of you, melech, picture it, and just say it and focus on the word, and that's it. And that word, and that's the kavanah, and then the words have a life of their own, and they'll take over. So maybe you could say that since they're davening the set nosach, even though it's not melech, but it's king, and it means the same, and maybe it has that power. Okay, you have to see if the Nefesh Chaim would allow that to be translated. Don't know. Another suggestion that I was talking to a friend of mine, and I think I saw something similar in the Tshuvos of Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, the chief rabbi, the former chief rav of Yerushalayim. He says that the Tfilos Hatzibor, he's trying to explain how we could say, when we had the Kumzitz with the Willig brothers, they were singing Yehei Rava Kadamach, I think it's a song off their CD. Right, how do we say Baruch Shemei when we take the Torah? That's Lashon Arami. Even according to Tosfos, how do we say that? So Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank says that we're davening, we're not davening for ourselves. We're davening for everybody. We're davening for Tzarchil Shemayim, he says. We're davening for Kvod Shemayim, that Hashem's glory, we should be more connected to the Torah, more connected to Ruchnius. And that could be said, Hashem is more easily miskabel those filos. Similarly, along the same lines, when we daven Shemon Esrei, Rifa Einu, Barich Aleinu, we're not just davening for us, we're davening for the Tzibor, even though we're not with the Tzibor. Okay, those are all very good suggestions. Here's another Hashgacha proof to our Torah Shir. So on the way, I was in the car the other day, 2 days ago, and I was listening to a shir. I don't know if anyone's heard of Rabbi Benjamin Eisenberger. If you haven't heard of him, I could send you a shir. He's my sleeper of a person I like to follow. Not many people know who he is. He's a shul in Borough Park. Very interesting person. Great person. So I was listening to his shir. I could send you the shir if you want. And he was dealing with something else. It was a shir from Parshas Noach. He was dealing with the Keshes in Parshas Noach. What's the deal with this whole rainbow thing? And he quoted a very famous Meshech Chachma that I've seen and heard many times, but then he gave me a new perspective on it, and I thought at the moment, oh, Hashgacha, that's the answer to this rush. So what does the Nefesh Chaim say? We got to jump ahead, Meshech Chachma, sorry. We got to jump ahead to the end of Bereishis, to Yaakov Avinu's discussion with Menashe and Ephraim. When he's speaking to Menashe and Ephraim and he gives them bracha, Yaakov Avinu says, "Vani nasati lechem lecha, and I gave to you Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim, Shechem echad al achicha. Right, I gave you Shechem, something one more. Rashi says Shechem mamish, one more than I gave to the other brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori becharbi v'kashti. What I took from the Amori with my charbi ubekashti. Right, my cherev, my sword, my keshes, my bow and arrow." Says Ungulus, Bicharbi Vakashti, right? The Nesivast Miyad de Amori, what I took from the Amori, Besluusi Ubuusi, through my Tfilos and Bakashas. It wasn't literally a sword and a bow, it wasn't just the battle, but it was the Tfilos that went into the battle. Ask the Meshech Chachma, okay, very nice. Pasuk, Charbi Vakashti, why would we refer to Tfila through a sword and through a bow and arrow? And says the Meshech Chachma the following idea, that when it comes to tefillos, there are two types of tefillos. The tefillos akavuos, our Shemona Esrei, is the tefillos we daven every time, and that's called, that's bakasha, that's beusi, that's lusi, that's our davening, and then there's bakashos. Bakashos are requests that we make that are beyond the regular set of tefillos. We just say, you know, we're in the car, we have an important meeting, we say, Hashem, please let this go well. Hey, we're about to set off with something important. We just give a bakasha. It's not a tefillah. We call it a bakasha. What's the difference between the two? If you skip down, he quotes the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara in Tainus in Daf Ches says, "Ain't tefillos shel adam nishmas elam king meisim nafsho bekapo." A person's tefillah is only heard if he literally puts his soul in his hands. He puts his whole heart into the tefillah. Shenamru nasa levavenu al kapayim. We put our hearts in our hands. Ini? Is that so? Says the Gemara. Aye, but it says. Says the pasuk in Tehillim, tell him we're not as good as we should be, and our hearts are not with it. We didn't fully believe. Hashem's okay with that. Those tefillos, there's something to it. Says the Gemara, lo kasha kan biyachid kan betzibor. So you could have learned the Gemara to mean when you die with a minion, we don't die with a minion. When you die with a minion, you don't need so much kavana. It's okay. But yachid, put your nefesh, put your soul into your hands. It says the nefesh chaim, the meshech chachma. Sorry, keep doing that. Perish shesider atfilos shu betzibor afshulob kavana miskabelas. I don't think he necessarily just means tefillos atzibor with the tzibor. The tefillah tzibor, it's the set tefillah that we say that needs very specific kavana. But a bakasha chadash, actually that could be okay with just regular kavana, just as long as I'm aware I'm davening. But a bakasha chadasha, I'm trying to add to the tefillah. I'm trying to say something on my own. Hashem, you know, help me have a good day, help this meeting go well, whatever it may be. He tzrich lios bekavana muflages. It needs great kavana. And that's pshat, this is a beautiful pshat in Bechari Vakashti. Think about the power of what a weapon between a sword and a bow and arrow. A sword is a powerful weapon inherently in and of itself. It doesn't matter necessarily who's the one that's holding it. Yeah, it's true. If you're stronger with a sword, quicker hand, you'll be more effective. You give a sword even to a weaker person, and with one, you know, catches the guy from behind with one swoop of the sword, he's got him. But a keshes, a bow and arrow, it's only as good as the control of the person and the aim of the person who's pulling on the bow and the arrow. So Bicharbi Vakashti. Bicharbi, says Uncleus, Slulasi. My tefilos. The set tefilos, those set tefilos, they're a cheriv. They're a power. They're inherently sharp, and they're going to cut right through into Shemayim, and you know, Mirtz Hashem, they'll be niskaba. But Bekashti, Uvuusi, my bakashos, that's a keshes. I need to aim them very carefully. I have to make sure I say them with proper kavana. That's how he explains the whole sugya, the whole pasuk, and I think that's the answer to our rush. That the tefillos hatzibur that are, it fits with the Nevesh Chaim as well. The tefillos hatzibur that we say accustomed, those are bacharvi, those are set, those are strong. That's a sword. So I say it in English, say it in Hebrew, say it in Yiddish, say it in Spanish. It doesn't matter. It's bacharvi. It works. It doesn't need the malachim. It's going to go right through. But buusi, right, bakashti, the arrow, that needs to be said very carefully, very. You have to put your whole heart into it. So that also, it needs Lashon HaKodesh. You have to say it very carefully, very exacting as well. That I think, could be the pshat in what the Bali Tos are saying in the Rush. It just occurred to me, I'm not sure where to draw the line here, though, because there's a comment that Pinkus and a Sefer Shar Betula quotes, I think, from the Brisker Rav, that there's a well-known machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban when it comes to Tula. Everybody knows. Is there a mitzvah to daven min haTorah? The Rambam says yes. V'avdu b'chol levadchem. You should serve Hashem with your whole heart. Ezo v'avodah shebelev. Havi omer zu tefila. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. The Ramban argues, but in his discussion he says, but the psukim that we say by the chatzrotzos, that when we're in eitz tzara and we call out to Hashem, he says that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Tefila b'eitz tzara is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So apparently, it's quoted in the name of the Brisker Rav that Tefillah Be'ez Tzara doesn't just mean what we're experiencing now, Rachmel Otzlan, in Eretz Yisrael. That's for sure Tefillah Be'ez Tzara. Tefillah Be'ez Tzara is anytime a person feels like he needs something. It could even be as mundane as circling, you know, help me find a parking spot. Okay, it's not an Eretz Tzara, but it's in time of need, and there you have a mitzvah, according to the Rabban Minat Torah, to daven. And people that are tzaddikim that try to give a tefillah to everything they do. The women who cook everything, you know, make my kugel come out right. Every single thing they say, everything they do in life has a tefillah attached to it. Our minhag is that when we do that, people that are mekayim, that we don't say it in Lashon HaKodesh, we'll just say it. It's the most natural thing to say, Hashem, you know, matzliach darki, make this go well. So how does all this fit? That, you know, it needs to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. So maybe you could say that there's even a third level, there's tefillos, there's bakashas. There you're saying, like, I'm going to make your, formally getting yourself ready, I'm going to make a bakasha, I'm going to make a request, I'm going to put it in my Shemoneh Esrei, that needs to be Lashon HaKodesh. Maybe even this level, it's a tefillah, we're davening, but it's so, the point of it is to be so natural, maybe it doesn't have to be Lashon HaKodesh, or maybe in a Hanami. You have to say that even if you want to daven in that way, that's Lashon HaKodesh. I didn't have a chance to ask anyone who knows a lot more than me to see what they thought about that, but that's just something to think about. So just two quick points to leave you, well, again, Hashkacha of where you see that it's not just that there are angels in this parsha, but many of the topics of what there are to talk about the malachim come out from our parsha. We find by Tzdom another, right? That's the Rabban talked about, another appearance of angels, and we find a very interesting comment that they make when they tell Lot, "Hurry up, get out of here, go to Tzohar. You have to go to this new city." And he says, "We can't." First they say, sorry, get out of here, Mashchisim Anachnu, we're going to destroy the city. Then they say, Lot, you have to leave because we can't do anything until you're out of here. So what does Rashi point out on that? What does it mean that we can't do anything? Rashi says that the Malachim, they sinned. They made a mistake. They attributed the power, let me find where this Rashi is. They attributed the power of what was going to happen in Sodom to themselves, and they shouldn't have done that. Where is the Chaf Beis? Let's see. Sounds right. Kilohu chalasos. We can't do a thing. Very good. Maher himlet shama kiluchal asos davar ad voach shama achin kashma yot sawar. Ze on shon shemalachim asha amru ki mashchisa manachnu. We're going to destroy. Some of the farshim point out how to maglusin a in terms of how that works. And in itself, look at Rashi in this chumash in this parsha. Rashi says when Avram serves them in his tent, he says to them, "Sa'adu libchem." Right, that's pasuk hay. What's sa'adu libchem? The Torah of the Yom Kippur Matina. Okay, fine. So what does he say? Where is it? Sa'adu libchem. Amr bichama levalchem inksiv kan el libchem. Doesn't say levalchem your hearts. Lashon yachin magich in yitzhara sholei b'malachim. There are no yitzhara. There's no yitzhara for angels. Here they sin. So some of the farshim, I forget exactly where Saul said this. You see, first of all, an interesting thing in terms of chait, that yitzhara and chait don't necessarily have to go together. We blame our chatayim on yitzhara, but it's possible you have no yitzhara, but you can still sin. Okay, that's a nice, cute, not cute, but an important idea for the nature of sin. But more importantly, how could they sin? So they have bechira. Can they? They don't have bechira chafshis in the same way we do. The Rambam seems to deal with this in that in the chelik beis in these prakim of Mar Nebuchim. Exactly. Do they have some sort of bechira that they could go? They can't, like we do, choose between good and bad. There's no good and bad, but can they go off their path from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? An interesting question. Different opinions. There's different discussions in Midrashim, proofs. But that also gets into how similar do we view them with not human attributes, God forbid, but something human, more human-like. But then the main question is, human-like, how do we stack up to the Malachim? And again, another, not just a random question, in Parshas Ve'era, as I was looking in the Mefarshim, there's a chumash that it's called Ma'oros HaGedolim, and it has, I think, Yud Gimel, it says Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Mefarshi Rashi. It's a collection of commentaries on top of Rashi, the well-known ones in Maral, and I was looking for these Mefarshim that Rabbi Kiva here quoted, the Maskil David, and I saw, I think the Tzedek L'Derech, I'm not even sure that is, that it says that they want the Torah wanted to be chole kavod to the malachim, right? What the Rashi says, the tzivah of my love. Rashi says. Rashi says somewhere in the beginning that they wanted to show kavod to the malachim. I can't find the spot at the moment. And this Mefarish asked, what do you mean they wanted to show cover to Malachim? The Chazal say, Gedolot Tzadikim Yosef Malachi Asharis. Tzadikim are greater than Malachi Asharis. So why would we show cover? We should show cover to Avram. He's a Tzadik. He's greater than the Malachim. Okay, right now they're acting as people. Maybe that has to do with it. He wanted to say, maybe that Memra is only Olam Haba. In Olam Hazeh, we're not as great as the Malachim, but in Olam Haba, we will. But there are many that take that Chazal literally. Tzadikim are always greater than Malachim. So what makes us greater than Malachim? Malachim Sharis, they have no Yetzihara. Maybe they can't even veer off Hashem's path. They're always constantly praising Hashem. They're closer to Hashem. What makes us greater? The answer, again, is found in Parshas Ve'era. That's the key, Parshas Ve'era. Ve'era. What's the answer? What's the ultimate moment of this Parsha? Right, Parshas Ve'era, what happens? The Akedah, Avram and the Akedah, and he passes the test. The Nisayon, the great Akedah. And if you look in the Sforno, on the sheet, Hashem says to Avram, Ata Yadata, right now I know, Ata Yadati, now I know that you're Yirei Elokim. So the Sforno puts the language into the Malach that appears to give the aisle to Avram, says the Malach, Ani Malach Shevedin Yaglecha Hakel Al Malachim. Now I understand why Hashem says that you guys are greater than us. I'm just doing my job. I'm by nature. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm a malach. But you're a Yirei Elokim. You're a Shemayim. You actually act on it. You have a choice. And you fear and you stand back and you follow Hashem's will. Hashem wanted to show what was inside of you. That's why he brought you the Nisayon, the famous Ramban. The Nisayon is to bring out the kochos that we have inside of us that we may not realize. And that is the Akedah, to teach us that through, we conquer our Yetzer Haras. We every day we have a constant avoda, we have a constant battle, and that's what can make us greater than the Malachi Asharis. So although there's a lot of interesting things to learn about, and that brings us back to the beginning of the shiur about the Malbush, to realize that there's something that we have in common with the Malach, especially according to the Ramban, that they have a certain spiritual nature, but in order to interact in this world, they're given a Malbush. We may have different things than the Shema versus the Malach, but so too. And we're sent on a mission also. And Reb Tzadok, Reb Tzadok HaKohen in Lublin, has this whole sefer worth looking through. It's called Sichos Malachi Asharis. And he gets into different things about Malachim. And he says that we find many times in Chazal, Talmidei Chachamim and Nevi'im are called Malachim. Malach Hashem Tzvakos is a Rebbe, because their job, what they're doing is they're devoting their lives to Hashem's mission. And that's what makes a person, even like he says, even greater than a Malach. And the more we are in touch with we look past our Malbush, and we can look inside what the Rebbeinu Bechaya says, that what we are is Neshama, then we could be like Avraham Avinu. We could pass our Nisyonos, not the Akedah, thankfully, but all our Nisyonos, where we could be, as Chazal said, even greater than a Malach. Okay, good Shabbos.
Who did the...